You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, one and all. A very warm welcome back to The Punt Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on the midweek edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to the semi-final stage of both the Champions League and the Europa League. We've got four British teams involved as well across the four games that we're going to preview, starting with, of course, the Champions League matches coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday, then on to the Europa League on Thursday. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and Alex Dunn joins me in the studio. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. We're getting to the business end of these two European competitions, business end of the season. I'm looking forward to the matches coming up midweek, particularly both Champions League semi-finals, I think have the potential to be good spectacles for the neutral.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it's fantastic that there's an English side in every single semi as well. I still think it's odd to see Arsenal-Chelsea in the Europa League,
yeah,
personally. But the Champions League is an absolute treat. You've got two sides who are very much on the up playing each other, and then two sides who really are very much established in the history of European folklore. Mind you, so are Ajax, I suppose.
Yeah.
They're sort of coming back again. But no, it's it promises to be an absolutely cracking midweek, and hopefully we can put up a winning bet or two.
Indeed. We'll start with that Ajax game. They take on Spurs on Tuesday night. This is an 8 o'clock kickoff. Now, this is the golden goal game as well this midweek here at William Hill. So if your team scores the first goal, that's all they need to do. You'll be paid out as a winner on the 90 minutes betting. Spurs are 6-4 in that market. Ajax are 15-8. The draw, 23-10. So competitively priced. There's a whole host of enhanced odds on this one already. You can check those out. It's also a hashtag Eurodds match, of course. If there's anything you fancy that isn't already priced up, then you can tweet at William Hill with the hashtag Eurodds and we'll try our level best to price it up for you. A very, very interesting game, obviously. Spurs were beaten at the weekend by West Ham. After the game, Maurizio Pochettino said that stress and fatigue were beginning to creep in for some of his players, which is understandable. They've had a busy schedule. We know they haven't got the biggest squad in the world, dealing with a couple of injuries at the moment as well. Taking on Ajax side, who have been the darlings of the media, really, since knocking out Juventus. They beat Real Madrid in the round before that. They were good value for both wins, I thought, over the course of the two legs. And this is an Ajax team that many people expect to be dismantled and spread all over Europe in the summer. It's likely that they're going to lose a lot of their star names. But they've been really good to watch thus far, Ajax. For all that they are good to watch, they deserve to beat Real and Juventus. Lots of young, exciting players there. If you'd have offered Spurs Ajax in the semi-finals pre the tournament, even considering how well they've played, considering how many youngsters they've got that are very exciting, they would have 100% taken this Spurs. As good as Ajax are, this remains a very presentable opportunity for Spurs.
Yeah, it's like England-Croatia in the World Cup semi.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's not easy, but you'd have taken it.
That didn't go well.
No, it didn't. No. Well, I owe an apology to Ajax and Ajax fans and Ajax backers.
Oh, you've been trying to get them beat, haven't you?
For all I respect them and they're a good team, I didn't think that they should have beaten Real Madrid and Juve. But they were good value, as you said. They completely deserved to. I thought Juve was a great bet. I lost plenty of money on it. Anyone who listened to me probably did as well. So, sorry for that. That leaves me in a difficult position here. because originally, when you just look at the 90 minutes betting, you think, crikey, Spurs are a big price. But then you factor in no Kane and no Son because he's suspended.
Yep.
And you kind of go, well, all of a sudden, Spurs are looking a little less formidable. Dele Alli hasn't been superb this season. Christian Eriksen's been very good. He always is. Moussa Sissoko's likely to miss this game as well. And then you're left with sort of the rest. Lucas Moura on his day can play really well. You've got Eric Dyer, Victor Wanyama, who are defensive. It's interesting because Spurs, I think the best chance of Spurs getting something is to play five at the back, not defend as such, but be very almost tentative in their attack.
Okay.
And then try and nick a goal.
Yeah.
But Ajax, the way that they play makes it very difficult to do that because once they get the ball, it's very hard to get it off them again. So tactically, it's absolutely beautifully poised. And I'll be honest with you, I honestly don't have a strong opinion on this.
Yeah.
If I hadn't been so bullishly against Ajax on other podcasts in previous rounds, I'd say that Spurs to qualify at even money is okay because I can see with Son back, I can see them scoring on the road. Which immediately, if you're guaranteeing someone an away goal, then should they really be the outsiders of two? You know, depends obviously which teams are in action, but I think maybe not. I think in this game though, I can see Ajax scoring. So both teams to score would have to be a play, and I'd factor that into any wager that you are having.
4-6, both teams to score.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're two big prices 90 minutes anyway. Mm. But obviously, you add the both teams to score, and you do get that real chunk of value, I think.
Yeah.
But it's I honestly have no strong opinion on which way this will go. As a neutral, or an English neutral, and this is assuming all English fans want English teams to do well. I know that's not always the case. But you'd imagine I'd think, I'd like Spurs to win here. I would just like good football. I like watching Ajax.
Yeah.
I'm not a convert. But I'm warming to them. And I think we could see an entertaining game here. In the back of my mind, I'm always just thinking, I think Spurs will score away. So I think there's a big pressure on Ajax to score here.
Right.
But I think they will. Which I suppose makes them probably about the right price to qualify. If going on what I was saying earlier, if you can give a team an away goal.
Yeah, sure.
So in terms of this one, I'd play it safe with both teams to score 4-6. I would watch the game and probably bet in play more than anything. Mm-hmm. I think with Spurs in particular, you get a good feel for how balanced they are early on in a game. If Llorente starts, sometimes he's unplayable, not in a goal-scoring way, but in a bringing others into play way. Sometimes he is, you may as well have a tree up there, because he's not the most effective at times.
Yes.
And his touch is off. But when he's on it, he really does add something. And of course, I mean, it speaks volumes for Spurs. You know how everyone will say, oh, Spurs, massively depleted. Well, of their strike force, Son, Kane, Lamella out. Son and Kane are the only two major absentees in that squad. Sissoko's be good. Fair play. But they're the only major ones. I know Harry Winks has been in and out this season of the team. He's a good player. Their defence remains intact, and that could give them a chance. But of course, you've got so many little subplots here, because you've got Vertonghen and Alderweireld who used to play for them. You've got Christian Eriksen who used to play for them. I was just reading an article out in the office, actually. Martin Jol has obviously managed both.
Yeah.
And remains, apparently, an avid Spurs fan.
Is that right?
Loves Spurs.
Okay.
He'd rather Spurs win this. Not that should influence your betting. but there's a lot of sort of little subplots.
Yeah.
And if you're backing a story, if you like, then maybe look at one of them to bag. But both teams to score, it's a bit of a sellout option, 4-6. I'm not happy with that being the only selection, but it will be from a tentative point of view. And plus, I just can't bear to take Ajax on again and have them crush me.
That's fair enough. 4-6, the price of both teams score. If you did want to combine that with one of the 90-minute options, it's 16-5 that Spurs win and both teams score, 29-10 for a score draw, 9-2 that Ajax win the game and both teams get on the score sheet. Spurs even money to qualify out of the tie, and Ajax 8-11 to make the Champions League final. On to Wednesday night's game then at the Nou Camp. Barcelona taking on Liverpool. Barcelona are 5-6, 11-4 for the draw. Liverpool are priced up at 16-5. Again, another raft of enhanced odds on this game. The to qualify betting, Barca are the favourites in that market at 4-6. Liverpool are 11-10. Liverpool obviously played on Friday night, sticking 5 past Huddersfield to keep the title race very much still alive and still in the balance. Barcelona have already wrapped up La Liga. They were able to give Lionel Messi the first half off at the weekend against Levante. Did come off the bench at halftime and bag in the second half, but their domestic title is already wrapped up. Liverpool's still all to play for. This is obviously, on paper, has got all the makings of a really, really good game. I hope it pans out that way. I think it will.
Mm.
How do you bet this one?
Initially thought Liverpool might be a bit big, but then you just take it on Barca at the Nou Camp is dangerous. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Liverpool can turn them over at Anfield. So I suppose the first leg for Liverpool is damage limitation, try nick an away goal.
Yeah.
But you can bet your life that Barca will score at Anfield. But again, everything adds up to goals, doesn't it? Over the two legs, you wouldn't be surprised at all if the aggregate scoreline here is 4-4 or something that at all. I haven't got the price in front of me right now. Goals are priced up, you'd imagine, prohibitively here. Is that correct?
The goals betting, as in under over.
Yeah.
So over 2.5 is 8-13.
Yeah.
Over 3.5, 13-8.
See, I think I saw 4-6 earlier, so that's already shortening.
Right, okay, yeah.
I'd say it's probably about the right price, though. That's the thing. You sort of think, oh, it's a bit skinny. Mm. And it could be, i.e. the first leg of any knockout game could be cagey.
Yeah.
But you look at these two, you just go, no chance. Van Dijk, obviously a major player for Liverpool, goes without saying. Him aside, I'm not convinced that the rest of those defenders defensively are up to keeping Barca out.
Okay. In terms of Alexander-Arnold and Robertson and their attacking.
He's had such a good season. But the last couple of games, Trent Alexander-Arnold's just looked a little defensively suspect.
Okay.
Against weaker opposition. Cardiff and Huddersfield have both pinpointed him as a danger. Now, I say that, they kept clean sheets in both games, so it's clearly not worked that well. But he just has those moments where he looks a little sticky. And I wouldn't be surprised if Barca go for him, if you will. That said, there's no guarantee that he starts, of course. James Milner could come in at right back. Joe Gomez is back fit now. Well, he's not maybe match fit. And it would be one heck of an ask to say, right, go on then, Joe. Right back against Barca in a Champions League semi after you've not played for months. But
James Milner is a very real possibility, I think.
Similarly, he could play in midfield and just try and double up, if you like. But, I mean, again, subplots. Coutinho, could he be the one to knock Liverpool out? You've got Luis Suarez as well. I mean, this should be a great game. But the more and more I looked at it, the more I thought that Barca outright betting first leg are a good bet at a shade of odds on. I can see Liverpool scoring, but I can see Barca scoring at least a couple more. I think it'll tee it up nicely for the second leg because Liverpool at Anfield are a real force to be reckoned with. But I think it's now 31 home Champions League games in a row for Barca without defeat.
Right.
I think they've won 28 of them.
Yeah.
That's not a record to take lightly. And when you're getting almost even money about them winning again, it's landed in, 28 of 31? Yes, some of those games are against lesser opposition.
Yeah.
But no, I'll give Liverpool a goal and some hope for the second leg, but I just can't take Barca on at that price.
What about Barca and both teams 2-1?
Yeah, fair.
Let's move on to the Europa League now, coming up on Thursday night. Of course, both these matches kick off at the same time. They're both 8 o'clock kickoffs. We'll start with Arsenal versus Valencia at the Emirates. 19-20 for Arsenal. The draw is 12-5. Valencia priced up at 29-10. Arsenal are 4-6 favourites to go through to the final. Valencia are 11-10 in the to qualify market. A couple of sides who have actually got a bit of a similar profile in terms of their league form. Both are just beginning to lose touch with the top four in their respective divisions. Arsenal obviously have now lost three straight, conceding three goals in all three games. Defeats to Palace, Wolves and Leicester now mean that they are a couple of points outside of the top four. And a similar story for Valencia, who are sixth in La Liga. They're 3 points away from the top four after defeats to Atletico Madrid. Understandable. But then a home loss at the weekend to Eibar, less understandable. So both these teams now may well view the Europa League as their best chance of getting back into the Champions League next year. Obviously, the home game is of vital importance for Arsenal in particular because their away form has, in the main, been dreadful this season. So they'll be very, very keen to lay a marker down at the Emirates.
They will. It's amazing when you look at Valencia through the course of this season because the league position would make you think, yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with. They're decent. They've won 12 games all season in the league of 35.
Yeah.
They've drawn 16. They're hard to beat. They're also frustrating to back, generally. Yeah. They've only lost two more than Atleti, who are comfortably second. But they've won 10 less games. It's absolutely staggering how frustrating they can be. And in those 35 games, they've scored 40, conceded 32. They're not a particularly high-scoring side, but they can keep it tight. Mm. Then you've got an Arsenal side who, generally, at home this season, have been formidable.
Yep.
The Emirates has been a real fortress. But they lost at home to Palace, which I suppose you can forgive. although in the position they're in, it was a dreadful result. My concern is that Arsenal away from home, which obviously they're not in the first leg, so I'm not going to touch on it for too long. I think their only Premier League away clean sheet this season was against Huddersfield. Watford, the other week.
That's what I was trying to say. Troy Deeney got sent off early.
They did concede against Huddersfield. Yes. That was the point I was trying to make. And that is a concern for Gunners fans going into a second leg. Now, of course, it's the Europa League. It's different. Their record in the Europa League has been slightly better. I'm tempted to go down a similar route to the Barca-Liverpool game, really. I think a Barca-Arsenal double, nothing else, just the straight outright betting, is not the worst way to go here. Similarly priced up, I'd be amazed if Valencia win here. Absolutely astounded.
Yes.
I think Arsenal are a very, very good bet to win at home. The issue for Arsenal fans is not to concede an away goal and to try and get a goal clear, or two goals clear, if you like, so that they've got that buffer. Because you can bet your life that they'll ship at least two away from home. But I think Arsenal will win this. I think they're a really good bet to do so. Their squad depth has been a real asset in the Europa League. They've got a lot of fringe players who've managed to come in and done largely pretty well. And I think that'll be the case here, no matter what side they put out. And with their league form now patchy to... Well, they're not going to get the Champions League through Premier League qualification.
Through the conventional method.
Yes. Mm. So all of a sudden, this becomes a massive opportunity for them. And when you look at the other semi-final, which we're going to touch on in just a moment, Frankfurt-Chelsea, they'll go, well, we can beat either of those as well. So it's a night for Arsenal fans or Arsenal players to get the job done. No frills. A 1-0 would suffice. A 2-0 would be great. Just don't concede, and they've got a great chance. I think they're a great bet to win, though, in 90 minutes.
19-20 to win in 90 minutes. Are Arsenal minus a goal? If you fancy that, is 23-10. Minus 2 is 6-1. A variety of ways, of course, in on that match. The other semi-final in the Europa League is Chelsea, and they travel to Germany to take on Eintracht Frankfurt. Frankfurt's at 17-10 here. The draw, 23-10. Chelsea priced up at 8-5. Chelsea are 4-9 to make it through over the two legs, and Frankfurt 13-8 in that particular market. Now, Eintracht Frankfurt are perhaps not a team that we associate with the latter stages of European competition all that much, but they have impressed me greatly every time I've seen them this season. They're fourth, level on points with Rebel Leipzig in the Bundesliga. They have every chance of finishing in third place, and they could well be heading to the Champions League next year, regardless of what happens in this competition. And again, ditto Chelsea, they're fourth in the Premier League, and with Arsenal and Manchester United dropping points with alarming regularity, they may well end up in the top four anyway, but no doubt they'd like to win some silverware. I think this will be a very, very tough game for Chelsea. Eintracht Frankfurt at home in this competition have been really good this year. They are yet to lose. They've won all bar one of their games. The other one was a 0-0 draw with Inter. They've only conceded twice at home. Chelsea are probably the best team that have come here. They beat Lazio 4-1. They beat Marseille 4-0. They beat Shakhtar Donetsk 4-1. Beat Benfica 2-0. I quite fancy Frankfurt in this match.
Yeah, they firstly qualified from the group stage of the Europa League, as you mentioned, against Lazio and Marseille. That's a hard group to start with.
And battered both those teams at home.
Yeah, and their knockout games have been difficult. Inter, Shakhtar and Benfica, particularly Benfica.
Who beat them 4-2 in the first leg.
I think Benfica are underrated as a European entity because they play in Portugal.
Yeah.
I think if they played in Spain, I'd say they're probably around the level of Sevilla, if we're using a lazy example. But people go, oh, Sevilla, great side. Benfica, I think people will shun a little more.
Sevilla, to be fair, have won this competition three of the last 5 years.
They are pretty
good. Whatever
but
it is. Yeah.
Benfica, I think, are a real force to be reckoned with.
Okay.
And for Frankfurt to turn them over was eye-catching, I'd say. You've highlighted their home form. It is very, very good. Since the turn of the year, they've only lost once at home in the Bundesliga. That was against Augsburg a few weeks back. And Chelsea, I just think it's difficult to know what to expect with them. Let's not forget, at the start of 2019, they lost four on the road, back-to-back, 1-0, 2-0, 4-0 and 6-0. Since then, things have picked up a little bit. They should win this. They will win at Stamford Bridge. So they know a draw is enough. Thus, I don't want to back Chelsea to win away.
Yep.
I don't think they feel that they have to, which is always a dangerous thing. I know you're quite keen on Frankfurt. I'm going to be in the middle. I think the draw is the most likely outcome here. A score draw, though. I can give both teams a goal. But I think that'll be more than enough for Chelsea. I think Chelsea, in the end, will overpower them because their big guns will play.
Yeah, because why on earth wouldn't they now?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw Hazard play in the previous round, having barely featured all season in it. I say the big guns. He is the one, really, isn't he? Everyone else has sort of been partaking in a bit of Europa League action through the course of the season when required.
Dabbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think they'll have enough over the two legs. But for the first leg, no way do I want to back them as favourites in that game. So if I was pushed on 90 minutes betting, I'd be more keen on Frankfurt than Chelsea, as you are. But the draw for me would be the pick, and I'd go both teams to score in a draw. A one-all draw as well, if we're going the whole hog as a correct score bet, is the most likely outcome as far as I'm concerned. But I think Chelsea will edge it eventually.
A score draw is 3-1. The normal draw, 23-10. And a 1-1 draw is 24-5, if you wanted to follow Alex in on any of those. Frankfurt draw on a bet, by the way, even money as well, which could be of interest. Do enjoy all the betting ahead of the semi-finals, the Champions League and the Europa League this week. And the punt, of course, will return ahead of another Premier League weekend. But best of luck if you are getting involved midweek.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.